welcome back into another episode of Falcon Cast. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley with you. It is good to be back off of a bye week. I know we did our show last week, but the Falcons had a nice week off. Let's be honest, we all had a week off. We had some time to kind of reflect, to kind of decompress. Jay, I know you had a family vacation. Mm-hmm. How was that first and foremost?
Oh, it was great. It was great to go home for a little bit and see the family.
It's like Ma and Pa?
Oh, yeah.
You call your mom Ma and Pa?
No.
No?
You mom just say dad.
Mom and Dad?
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry about that. You gave me the look like, why would you say that?
Sorry. Why would you say that,
Shock? I'm sorry. Finish your story. I'm sorry.
Man. We're off to an awkward start.
We are.
I think we're still on bye.
We are.
I think, anytime you get some rest during the season, it's great. I don't know that you can ever get enough.
No, that is true.
Still tired, but, we're plugging away.
It was interesting for me. I did absolutely nothing. I mean, literally, Friday was my birthday last week.
Yeah, that's right.
And this will tell you how you know you're getting old. I went out to dinner with a girlfriend, and by 11 o'clock, I was asleep.
No way.
I was done. I had gone out Thursday night, which maybe precluded me from doing much else on Friday.
And we're gonna spare them the details.
Yeah, we
of
will.
That.
We'll just say I was tired on Friday, and I had to work and whatnot, and I went to sleep. Saturday, I watched college football. Very disappointing weekend for me. And then Sunday, it was amazing to sit at home and go, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to being somewhere. I know we're all used to being somewhere on Sundays. And, at 11 o'clock, I go, I guess I need to go grab some food and get ready for an NFL Sunday. And I spent, like, 15 hours on the couch.
Yeah, Saturday, I did some of the same. I got a buddy that played at Auburn, and I went over to his house, and we watched the Georgia-Auburn game and just relaxed. And later on that night, watched the famous kick by Holly Holm over Ronda Rousey that night. So watched the fight.
My gosh.
And then Sunday Red Zone was my friend.
Yeah.
I literally sat there on my couch all day, watched Red Zone, and just watched all the different games, caught up on what everybody looks like and all that. So it was very fun to not have anything to do. So
yeah, have to leave the house. I did spend a lot of time, as if I'm an advanced scout for the Falcons, I watched the entire game of the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what we're getting into in a couple of weeks. And, there's no way that you can't be impressed with that team. I mean, that football team came out, took care of business. It was close for a while, and they pulled away late, but that's kind of their MO. They play, very sound football. They play great defense. They do just enough, and then Cam Newton on them, which everybody's all upset about, which I don't
care. Which is dumb. Look, you score, you do what you want. I've always thought that there shouldn't be penalties for excessive celebration and stuff like that. You score, enjoy it.
I think a lot of it is how long he does it, but then also I think I heard the argument of, there's one guy in the NFL who has a celebration. He's has an endorsement from it, and one guy gets ridiculed for it. And so, who knows? I like what Cam said. Was, hey, if you don't like it, just stop.
That's exactly. If you don't like it, keep him out of the end zone. That's my stance. And even if he does it to us, that'll still be my stance. I think football's a game. It's supposed to be fun.
It's entertaining.
Let's stop taking it so seriously.
I just hope when Julio or Roddy scores against Carolina, they do the same dance back. How about that? Don't forget, guys, you can take us with you. You can subscribe to Falcon Cast on iTunes. Just search for Falcon Cast. Hit the subscribe button to get each week's episode on the go. Make sure you do that. If you haven't been doing that already and you're watching us online, go ahead and take us with you on iTunes. You'll enjoy it. You can listen to us in the car. You don't get to see our pretty faces on iTunes, but that's probably better for you guys.
And we have to describe the video of the week. The video of the week is not very iTunes friendly.
No, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll say that as we get to the video of the week.
So
let's talk about the general mood of the football team coming out of the bye week. I think we were all very down a week ago, coming off a loss to San Francisco. But then you watch Sunday's games, and everybody that was fighting for a wild card spot with the Atlanta Falcons lost a football game. They all took an L, whether it was Philadelphia, whether it was the Seattle Seahawks, you name it. Atlanta right now has a 2-game lead on everybody for the last wild card spot. They're actually tied with Green Bay now, who surprisingly is struggling. So what is your guys' mood for this team now as you move into what is truly the second half of the season?
I think the outlook coming out of the bye week is a lot better than when we went in. And for the reasons you just mentioned, there are a lot of things going on around the league that gives you the hope that, hey, we're still in the middle of this thing. And I think coming out of it, everybody it has a different mind frame. Yes, you were really disappointed with the loss coming out of San Francisco. And if everybody talked about, hey, here's a chance you may not make the wild card. And now because of other reasons, you're still in the mix of it. And like you mentioned, the numbers tell you, hey, you got a 2-game lead versus everybody else. But I think when you think about the Falcons themselves. I think they're a lot more excited about coming out of the bye week than they did, because I think you're getting a lot of guys back, a lot of guys that were injured are feeling really feeling good at practice this week. So you got to be confident and happy about that. And then also just listen to some of the guys this week. The mind frame is a little bit different. Guys are thinking more about the details. They're thinking about on offense, especially is the execution. I heard Matt talking about when plays are there, we have to make them. And the first thing you gotta realize as a player is self-scout yourself, then self-scout your particular side of the ball. And I think everybody's doing that, and they're going to have a newfound approach heading into this game on Sunday versus the Colts. And you got 7 games left, and you got to put everything out there on the table. And it's good that you had this bye week in the middle of the season so that when things are going good or going bad, you can kind of just refresh your mind and get back to the little things that's going to help you move on later in the season.
What I love is that it seems like everybody kind of understands what's at stake here. You know, you're passing the halfway point. There's a lot of football left to play, but at the same time, you can't afford too many more mistakes here as we continue to go on. So, and I think if you look at the schedule, it's turned out to be a little bit more difficult than I think we first anticipated. Yeah. I mean, the Colts are still kind of one of those unknown teams, right? You don't know really what to expect out of them, but, you know, preseason Super Bowl favorite. The Vikings have been a crazy surprise this year. And then you've got two matchups with Carolina, and you've got to go to Tampa, which, you know, beat you earlier this year. So the second half of the season is shaping up to be much tougher than we thought, and all the more important, I think, to make sure that you've got all of your issues taken care of. All the things that we've seen in the last 4 weeks kind of crop up have got to get solved in order for you to make that push and to kind of secure your place in that wild card spot. You know, you're still technically alive for the division, and you hope that you can kind of make something happen and Carolina kind of falls apart a little bit. But you really got to eye up each game. Like Matt Ryan said, you got to knock them off one at a time. And as cliche as that sounds, it's really just kind of true. You got to take care of Indy this week, and then, you know, let's move on to Minnesota next week.
One of the things we talked about going into the bye week was what would the defensive side decide to do to figure out a way to get a pass rush? Because let's be honest, we've talked about pass rush really since week one, the inability to get after the quarterback.
I think week one, 2011.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I moved here in 98. Like 2000 maybe is what we've been talking about pass rush. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the moves, Jay, and I know you had it up there on the website this week, moving O'Brien Schofield and Adrian Claiborne to the same side. Do you think that's going to make a difference?
I think it can, because I think you're talking about your more talented pass rushers there. I think, you know, O'Brien is certainly getting into the backfield. I think Adrian Claiborne, you know, from the preseason, he's been one of my favorites. And I think he's just, you know, a hair short on some of these opportunities. I think you put them on the same side, you're going to get a little bit more power out of them. I think it's going to, you know, offenses are going to have to pick and choose how do you block these guys? How do you stop them coming from the same side? So I think it will change something, but, you know, it'd be really interesting to see the effect. And I think I'm really excited to see that, because I really think that these are two guys that are hungry to make an impact and both, you know, have the talent to make an impact.
Jay, I think you bring up a great point of how teams are going to block these two guys, because both these guys do a good job of getting upfield and creating pressure. And we've seen Claiborne do it a couple times by himself. We've seen Scho do it a couple times for himself. I think last game, Schofield might have played 15 plays, so looking for more out of him to get in the game and get a chance to do it. And also, if they decide to use two or three guys to block Claiborne or block Scho, then that frees up somebody on the backside. So that means somebody else is one-on-one. And we've seen Babs this year do a great job of defeating one-on-one blocks, getting some TFLs, understanding when screens are coming. And then we're just waiting on Vic to become the player that everybody expects him. And we've seen spurts of it. We've seen him have different times where he has the pressure, he has the sacks and all that kind of stuff. Just if we can get more chances for him to be one-on-one, I think it's going to help him become that pass rusher that everybody believes he is. But I think having those two guys on the same side is going to create a lot of different matchups for opposing offenses and their offensive line, because both those guys seem so hungry. Both those guys come from other teams where they feel like this is their time to kind of recreate themselves and give themselves a name. And I like the opportunity to see both those guys rushing the passer at the same time on the same side, pushing the pocket, getting pressure.
Jay, I don't know if you know, and I'm not sure that's why I'm asking. Does that mean Sko is going to come off the right side going against the left tackle, meaning Vic Beasley's now going to slide to the left to get a chance to go against a right tackle? Or is it going to be Claiborne moving to the left side to be next to
I'm not doing the U. I'm trying to figure out which one's left and which one's right. Yeah, I think so. You're going to see, you know, Sko and Claiborne come off the quarterback's blind side, right?
Okay. Yeah. So that'd be the right side. Left tackle.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think that's how it's going to play out. You know, they don't allow us to watch
much
of practice.
You get to see them stretch.
I get to see them stretch, so I don't really know how it's going to play out on the field. We'll find out for the first time.
How does D-Lab feel about that, by the way? Not being able to be out there the whole time.
Oh, he's not a fan. He's not.
They let him hate that.
Hey, guys, I don't understand why we can't go out there.
Hey, BQ, why you won't let me play while practice a little bit longer?
It's pretty spot on.
That's pretty much what he was.
Yeah.
But so that'll be interesting because that could free up Vic Beasley, as Shock just talked about. Maybe some more favorable matchups. Not going against the left tackle every time. Maybe he gets a chance to show what he can do against a right tackle.
I think so. And I think, you know, as a rookie, you've got to try to find those areas where you can make an impact. And, you know, it's a time right now where he's young and he's moldable that you can you can move him around and kind of see where he kind of fits.
Yeah.
And so now's the time to start playing around with that kind of stuff. And so it'll be really interesting to see how he handles, you know, potentially moving to another side.
And what's interesting is as we look at how a offense is made in defenses and how to attack certain teams and all this kind of stuff, when we talk about what the Falcons offense try to do, I think it's the same thing up front with the defensive lineman. Is it's all about matchups. Right. And you're trying to find the best matchup for your guy to win. And I think right now, like you mentioned, halfway through the season, here's the time for you to try something new. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're trying something totally new where it's going to just set you back and, you know.
Yeah, William Moore doesn't have his hand on the ground playing DS.
Right. It's not one of those. All these guys rush the passer, but you're just trying to find the best matchup that's going to give you a chance to get pressure. And right now, I think it's a good thing that they're trying something new because everybody looks at the scenario, hey, we haven't gotten a lot of pressure. We haven't got a lot of sacks. And then we got 10 sacks on the year. It was 31st in the league. I mean, things like that. And then now you're trying to force the issue, which I like. And nothing's wrong with that. Like we mentioned earlier in the year, DQ has no problem with bringing guys in every week, whatever makes his team better. And that's what he's trying to do now is find a way to make that defensive front better where they can get after the quarterback.
You know, I think you're always going to want to stick with the program, right? You know, you've got a vision for how things are going to work, and you want to stick with that even for a while when it's not working. And so I think now you're at the point where you're like, all right, well, we've tried a lot. And we've tried the program. It's maybe not producing as much as we would like to. So let's try to mix things up a little bit. I think it's also important to remember that, you know, Dan Quinn's the guy, and I think we've made this point here on the Falcon Cast a couple of times. Dan Quinn's the guy who wants to get four-man pressure, okay? Mm-hmm. He does not want to have to blitz a lot. I think until he gets all of his type of guys into that defense, you're going to see a lot of these changes and a lot of these, you know, mixed situations kind of come up so that you can create that pass rush. Yeah. I think in 2-3 years, as he gets a couple of drafts and a couple of free agencies and gets more of his guys in here, I think you're going to see that this team create that four-man pressure. But for right now, you've just got to tinker around and see what you can produce.
The other big question of the off week, the bye week, was what's happening with the offense. 17 points a game in the last four games after averaging over 30 in the first four games of the regular season. So I thought one of the big things that we didn't sell enough is the fact that there were a bunch of injuries on this team. And you guys mentioned it. Players coming back, the Durants, the William Moores, you know, the Robert Alfords, all of these guys are going to be healthy now after the bye week. But on the offensive side, Leonard Hankerson's been out for a couple of weeks, and I don't think it's a mistake that the offense has struggled without Hank in there. Now, I'm not saying he's Julio Jones, but he opens up different things in the middle of the field. He's really comfortable in Kyle Shanahan's offense. He'll be back, and guess what? In a couple of weeks, we get our electric return guy and Devin Hester back, who is finally back out practicing this week. What's the impact Hank has this week coming back on the offensive side of the ball?
You know, a lot of guys don't like to be pigeonholed as a role player. And I think right now in this offense, Hank is one of the better role players that knows his job And like you mentioned, he does a good job of opening up that inside. He made a lot of plays on end cuts, on slants, on third and five, using him on the inside. And we haven't seen much of that. We saw Hardy catch a few passes like that. But other than that, Jacob Tammy has been that guy that's in the middle. And if you can just add a third guy to that equation, I think that's what makes, you know, this offense so special. And over the years, that's what we've seen. We've had the Julio, we've had Roddy, both those guys, and then you had a Tony Gonzalez, or you had a third guy in Harry Douglas who can create some things on the inside. You always had that third guy, and Hankerson is that guy for the Falcons right now. He's done a good job early in the season, and like you mentioned, I don't think we're too far off saying because he's been out, that's been part of the struggle for this team. And regardless of what you know of Hankerson coming into this season, he's been well for the Falcons in this offense, for Shanahan and what he's trying to do. So it'll be great to have him back and to see the production and see him create some room on the inside so that his offense can get back on pace and then open up more for Julio on the outside. We know that's going to be a double and triple team, but at times he's going to have the one-on-one because they can't play that particular coverage every single time.
When you also look at the offensive side of the ball, Roddy White's been the name that everybody's been bringing up, Jay. I know local radio here has hammered this for about 2.5 months because it's what local radio does. Talk about the same thing a lot, but there is some validity to what's going on with Roddy White not being involved. He's only had 30 targets in 9 games. Wow. 17 catches in 9 games for Roddy White. Somehow one shock, a picks to click, and one of those 17 catches
was a touchdown.
But you've got to find a way. You know, I understand Roddy's not Roddy from 2009. None of us are the same people we were in 2009. Right. But you've got to find a way, 4 or 5 targets a game, because this guy knows how to play the receiver position. And we witnessed last week, there's some times he is wide open.
Yes. He is. I mean, he could build a shed in this defensive secondary and have no problem with anybody bothering him. I mean, it's interesting when you get to a point where you've got this prolific player, this guy. He's absolutely a Ring of Honor guy, you know, who you're so used to seeing get the ball, and now all of a sudden he's not. And we see the decline of all these kinds of athletes as they get into this age that, you know, Roddy's reached. But I think, you know, fans are puzzled as to why he's not being used more. I think it's a valid question. And, you know, the coaching staff has had to address that several times in the media, and it seems to continue. You kind of hope that there's a way that they can get him a little bit more involved in the second half of the season. I think, you know, more weapons is better than less weapons.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you've got to try to find a way to use every single weapon that you've got. But at the same time, you know, we're not in the offensive meetings. We don't know what the plan is. We don't know what the progressions are. And so there's a lot of that goes into it. And, you know, it's a puzzling situation for sure. One that I don't think maybe gets nearly the microscope that it currently has if you haven't lost 3 of the last 4.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, Roddy's not completely wide open in the defensive secondary. So, you know, you got to hope that he gets involved because, you know, Roddy White is the Falcons. He's the face of the Falcons.
I think you need to make a meme for FalconCast with what you just said. We're not in the offensive meeting room. We don't know the progressions.
We don't.
And send that to every one of the fans
he
out there.
He might, though.
Well, yeah, but he does know the progressions.
But here's the thing. What you said was so spot on that when people ask me, like, why is Roddy not getting the football? And there's no way anybody in here can answer that question. Right. We're not in the meeting room. And that's my only point is we're not in the meeting room. We're not watching the progressions of Matt. We don't know the progressions. We know he has them. But there's no way we can know and answer that question because we're not in there. Mm-hmm. Only people who know that are the people who are in that huddle or who are in those team meetings and those offensive meetings that can understand what this particular play is calling for. Right. Is he a decoy on this play? But I totally agree. There should be three or four plays throughout a game that says, okay, this ball is going to 84.
Yep.
And there are 5, 6, 7 plays in the offense that says this is going to number 11. Mm-hmm. They find ways to throw the bubble screen to him. There's no reason in the world why Roddy should go through a game without one catch. Right. That makes no sense to me because you can find him on a mismatch inside with a linebacker, run a little stick route, a flat route, bubble route, whatever. You can find a way to get him the football. But I know people want more touches out of him, and I agree. So there's no way we can answer that question. There's no way I can answer that question not being in that offensive meeting and knowing where they want to go with the football.
You know, the biggest surprise thing to me is the fact that you're not in those meetings. I mean, you have enough Falcon gear. You have every piece of Falcon gear that's ever been owned. We did an event that'll be up next week. You'll see it on the website here at falcons.com. Shock made like 7 wardrobe changes in 45 minutes.
There were,
all
yeah.
brand new, great Falcon stuff, pulling the tags off. You have shirts that the coaches don't have.
I
know you're in these meetings. Matter of fact, you probably conduct the meetings. You're the guy that fast forwards and rewinds the tape.
I have great friends in this organization. That's all I know. I really love these my great friends. And
you've got friends in high places,
yeah.
don't you?
Me and Arthur text every day, so
there you go.
That's kind of what happens.
That I wouldn't be shocked at. at all. Now, do you talk trash to him when his college team loses,
Absolutely.
Or just me?
Arthur gets it all, too. Okay. Don't worry about that.
All right, nothing wrong with that. Well, we do have a new team coming to town this week, the Indianapolis Colts, a team that at the beginning of the year, this was one of the games I circled and said, I cannot wait until this Sunday at home at the Georgia Dome. Going to be rocking Andrew Luck, all the great weapons they have, and boy, they have not been very good. Now, credit due to the Indianapolis Colts, the week before the bye, actually right before that, they fired their offensive coordinator in Pep Hamilton. They bring Rob Chudzinski in, former head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was already there, but he gets promoted to offensive coordinator, and guess what? They light up the Denver Broncos. They win a game, but in the process, Andrew Luck gets dinged up, and he will not be playing this week. What do you guys expect out of Indianapolis, and how afraid of you are this of you from this team coming to town?
I don't know. Like, really, I don't know, because this is one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. Like I mentioned, you know, preseason, I think
I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Well, sort of. I picked them to be there, but you were the one who was like, oh, I'm going to put everybody on the spot and make a pick, a Super Bowl contender. And that was one of my picks. And, you know, I think as the season has gone on, that team has just, you know, stumbled a little bit. You know, maybe it's a little bit like looking in the mirror for this Falcons team right now. But the injuries certainly don't help. So now you've got a quarterback, and gosh, this is the year of the backup quarterback for the Falcons, because you're facing another one, yet this one's got a Super Bowl trophy.
Right.
You know, so this one it's a little bit different. Matt Hasselbeck may be 40 years old, but he can still sling it around. I think there's every reason to think that this is going to be a close game, that Indianapolis is going to come out firing. I mean, they're fired up after their knocking off an undefeated team. So I don't know what to expect, but I'm trying to just maybe temper my own expectations and just say it's going to be a close fight.
That's exactly what I expect, because of, like we mentioned, the guy playing quarterback in Hasselbeck. Hasselbeck, watching him play, he's a player who's so experienced and been around for so long that he's not going to do the foolish things of throwing it in the coverage. He's not going to force the football. He knows it's a long game, and he's going to do a good job of taking care of the football. And when you do that, you're usually going to be in ball games when you take care of the football. And Hasselbeck is one of those players who can do that. And this is an offense, you know, who everybody thought would be explosive with your Mr. You guys coming to the Colts. So
they got a few of them.
I think it's going to be an interesting game that. Still, I'm intrigued by, and I'm kind of in the same boat with you, Jay. I'm not sure which Colts team is going to show up.
Right.
We just saw a Colts team, like we mentioned before, the bye week, that looked pretty darn good. And then you saw early in the year where they were like, who is this team?
Right.
So you don't know what you're going to get from the Colts, but I just know from the quarterback position, they're going to have somebody who's going to keep them in the game, for one. And the Falcons should have a good chance to win this game, but I don't see it as a Falcons or Houston Texans type of game.
Can we just hope that they run that fake punt look?
Yes.
That they
just line up in that.
Line up in that. That would be great.
I don't think Chuck Pagano will ever. They won't even fake to line up. Now, if Chuck Pagano wanted to be a real jerk, and there's rumors that he might be gone at the end of the year if they don't make the playoffs. In week 17, if you're out of it, I just come out first, play the game, and get in that fourth.
Yeah, might as well.
Just to have Jim Irsay and the general manager lose their mind.
Yeah.
A couple of matchups I'm really intrigued with this week. Vontae Davis is one of the better corners in the National Football League. He's going to have his work cut out for him against Julio Jones. But on the flip side, Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford going against T.Y. Hilton and Andre Johnson could be a lot of fun. Now, T.Y. hasn't had the year that many people thought he would have. Andre hasn't really had the impact, but we know both of those guys are capable players.
Mm-hmm. Both of them can have a breakout at any time. We've seen T.Y. Hilton, and I'm sure DQ knows this as anybody, can get behind you in a millisecond.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever coverage it is, I think they want to take at least two shots to him a game because he can get behind. You can't because he can change the scope of a game because of his speed. He hasn't had what you expect out of him last season from coming to this season, but he has that ability to do it. And that's one thing that you got to be wary of is, yeah, he can lull you to sleep with, you know, 5, 6, 8, 9 yard catches, and then he's going to go on the top of you. Andre Johnson is still a big dynamic player, as we talk about with Roddy. At any given time, these guys can explode on you and be one of the guys who can really be productive for the Colts. So I'm looking forward to that matchup. Vontae Davis, on the other hand, what scares me a little bit is, well, it doesn't even scare me because Julio's just as physical, but he likes to be physical at the point in time. He likes to get up in your face, likes to talk, likes to put his hands on you, and I think that may work into Julio's hand because you may be looking at more PI penalties, you may look at more illegal hand touches and all that kind of stuff. So I like the matchup, and I think it's going to be one that everybody should be looking forward to watching.
You know, the other one, Jay, that could be interesting. We know Frank Gore from his time in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. He's starting to find his groove. And I think Rob Chudzinski, one of the points of emphasis for them was we got to run the football. We can't just have Andrew Luck back there chucking it around 55 times. And Gore played pretty well in the win over Denver. That means the Falcons defense, top five in the National Football League against the run, they better show up this week.
Yeah, you have to because, I mean, Frank Gore is a veteran and he knows how to run the football. As you said, he's trying to, you know, find a groove in this Indianapolis offense. But the thing that's always stood out to me is just how hard he runs. I mean, he's like a little wrecking ball, and you have to have sound tackling in order to bring him down. There's going to be situations where, you know, you could have him wrapped up 2 yards, 3 yards in the backfield, and if you don't bring him down, he's going to make you pay for it. So I think, you know, having that sound tackling, that technique that Dan Quinn's always talking about is huge against this guy because he can really make you pay.
Here's one thing when you talk about Frank Gore that reminds me of a guy that's on our team in Devontae Freeman is, as he gets going, as he starts to feel a little bit better, as he starts to get more yards and he starts starts to feel it, that's when you should be worried because that's when he's really starting to crank up. And if the Falcons allow that, it's going to be a long neck, like you mentioned. He's going to run through some arm tackles. He's going to be hard to bring down. He's a player that plays with a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and if he gets that swagger going, he gets that feeling about himself, like he's feeling good, he's in a groove like we talk about, that's not going
to
be good.
I think the Falcons, though, are in a defensive groove when it comes to stopping the run, though. I think it's this is one of those defenses that is just really built to stop that phase of the game. So I really like, you know, the Falcons' chances to shut him down. He can certainly make you pay, but I really love what the Falcons have done from a run defense standpoint this year, and it's been a huge bright spot.
Frank Gore can make people miss in this Jim Spirit wear cup. He's one of the greatest guys that in a muddled pile where you think, okay, it's a rugby scrum and he's not going anywhere, all of a sudden he pops out of there.
Yeah.
He's not gonna run away from anybody at this point of his career. But he'll get those 10, 15-yard chunk runs on plays that you think you have him stop.
And those are the things that matter, you know, those extra couple of yards. I mean, we've seen it. We saw it against, I think it was San Francisco. You know, Jonathan Babineau had, Shane Drone locked up in the backfield, and he slips away, and all of a sudden you're talking about a huge gain. I think those are the types of things that you've got to avoid with this guy because he can break your back in some of these instances.
Those are demoralizing, and then they're confidence builders for an offense.
Absolutely.
And you think about you having a backup quarterback in there and you see your running back breaking a couple extra tackles.
Yeah.
That's gonna give you the energy to say, hey, let's keep doing this. Let's keep sticking to the game plan and just getting plugging away. We don't need the big play, we're just plugging away.
But the reverse is true too. You can stop him a couple of times in the backfield and get them maybe a little bit off game.
Right. Oh yeah.
You know, and force Matt Hasselbeck to throw the ball, which is what I think you want to do.
Absolutely.
So I think that can kind of go both ways there, but it's going to be definitely a matchup to watch.
Last thing before we move on to the break with Bosek, I'll throw this comment out there, and this is something we can chew on for the week. Your run defense better be solid because Adrian Peterson's coming to town. The Carolina Panthers, who are running the heck out of the ball, are coming coming to town twice. Your run defense better have their techniques and everything set up for the next few weeks.
True.
I watched Peterson last week get hit about 2 yards downfield, and the next thing you know, he's 80. he's to the house, and the Raiders are going, what happened was we didn't get him down.
You know? Need to just coat him and stick him that day because it's tough to bring him down.
It is. I was going to say, maybe we can have Freddie the Falcon take him out beforehand.
Maybe.
Bring that scepter that you brought last time.
There you go, yeah.
And hook Adrian Peterson. All right, it's time now for a break with Bosack. Bo, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, how are you guys?
Bo got a haircut.
Yeah, he's got the 5'4"3 rocket. 5'4"3,
yep.
The Bosack exclusive. I said, Bo, where you get your haircut from? He said, my bathroom.
Yep.
That's my barber shop.
No place better. Yep. All right, this week I got an interesting question for you.
All right.
If you were a dinosaur, which dinosaur would you be?
Where does this come from?
I have no idea.
Dinosaur?
This is the mind of Bosack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bosack be watching some dinosaur movies or something.
This has nothing to do with it.
I'd be a T-Rex because I got short arms. So.
T-Rex, I'm going to go with a guy who's mean. Velociraptor.
Okay.
Because it's freaking ferocious, man. Yeah, it fast, too.
Was it the pterodactyl that could fly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to fly. I was a guy that could never dunk. Shocking. I had a...
That's so unbelievable.
Yeah, I couldn't jump. And
can't
so
believe that.
I'd love to be able to fly.
There's nothing wrong with that. What so about you?
You can fly away so you can get
mine
eaten.
Mine was Velociraptor as well.
Velociraptor.
DJ. And then
me
also...
Me and Bosack on the same page, baby.
So, I watched Jurassic World pretty recent, so that might be where this came from.
Okay.
Which Falcons player would you trust in helping you survive in Jurassic Park?
Oh, mine's easy. I watched him throw around offensive linemen in San Francisco and literally throw them on the ground like he was ready to eat them. I want Paul Soliak because he could go after a T-Rex or a Velociraptor, and I think he's got a chance to stand there at the point of attack and hold on while I get out of there.
The one thing that I've always tried to live by is that you only have to be faster than the slowest guy, right? The problem is... I don't think there's anybody on this team slower than me.
You don't think you could outrun Soliai?
No.
No
way. I don't
think
I could.
Okay.
No way.
I don't know. I can't outrun anybody.
We got to look up his 40 time, but mine is abysmal probably compared to his. So
not even none of the offensive linemen?
No. I have no shot at this. So I'm going to pass on this one because I don't trust anybody. They would be coming to me asking me to help them so that I would be the first to eat.
You'd be the sacrificial lamb.
I don't know if this sounds crazy, but when I think of this guy, I think of him as he's a tough, rugged guy. We've seen him get hurt a couple of times and he continued to stay. He looks like a fighter, a survivor. Paul Warlow looks like he would survive in the jungle or something.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he can really survive and help me survive, so I'm all about that. We could make fires and maybe we'll hunt our own food and stuff. I mean, it's like a
now that's a senior man. Class at Georgia, isn't it? Making fire?
Nice.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Mr. Miami right there.
Dang.
Wow.
All right, mine? Mine's Matt Bryant.
Why Matty B?
He could talk to alligators. So I'm hoping he can maybe somehow communicate with the.
That's ain't no alligators in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but they're like
alligators are like dinosaurs.
Yeah,
they're like related
some way.
Very true.
They made it through.
Have you ever heard him do the alligator sound?
I have.
It's pretty awesome.
Both say you can't do it.
No, I
can you do it?
You can't do it.
He's from Chicago.
He's like, that's why I got him with me, because I can't do it.
I said the only alligator he's ever saw is on a shoe.
Or in the zoo.
Lacrosse.
Can alligators survive in the zoo up there, or they have them indoors?
They have them indoors.
Okay, I was going to say, it gets a little chilly for them in the winter.
Yeah.
They're like, the heck with this. Where's the heated pool?
There's another animal with short arms that I could be.
All right, now we like to have a lot of fun here on Falcon Cast as well. And for those that are listening to us on iTunes and don't get a chance, this is something you want to check out, the video of the week. And you'll check out the subsequent video that will come out next week for Thanksgiving. We did a little bowling exhibition.
Yeah.
In our own way. So bold. Here's our video of the week.
It's tougher than it looks.
That's me.
So Jay Adams is bowling right now.
Throwing a turkey.
Rolling a turkey. You got a goose egg on that one.
I did. So we did, this was our after our second annual turkey bowling festivities. And so the Falcon Cast crew, who does fantastic commentary on during the actual match.
Oh, they got Bosack going 3.
Yeah,
4.
4.
5.
6.
Yeah,
finally.
Six chances it took you to get One pin.
I got a strike, though.
No, hold on. I don't care. Hold on. It took you six times.
It took six times.
I'm a little disappointed here. I think there's a conspiracy going on.
Why? Because they didn't put yours up
there that
you
made? They didn't put mine up that I actually got. I won the
competition. No, it's about your first one, man. That's what we're talking about.
No.
Going about your first one, man.
Both of Jay's were thrown. You only had one. I only have Bosek had 11.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy. I guess there wasn't enough time in the video to show my good shot.
I don't think we filmed that one.
Oh, yes. So yeah. It didn't happen.
Oh, no,
so
it happened.
No video, it doesn't happen.
Oh, you guys saw it.
If it's not video, but, she has that video, it didn't happen, man.
Shout out to Bosek for putting Turkey Bowling together
last
week. Our second annual was a lot of fun. You'll see the video on AtlantaFalcons.com and Atlanta Falcons Social Tuesday.
It's definitely worth the look.
Yes. It is.
You got to tell them the guys who were on it, right?
It was Devontae Freeman, Patrick DeMarco, O'Brien Schofield, and Philip Wheeler.
Offense versus defense.
Yes. It was characters, too, so you guys want to watch it.
A lot of trash talk involved. Freddie the Falcon, a couple of beautiful Falcon cheerleaders, and then our
And then us.
Yeah, so you get to see us. A couple of times. So
there you go.
That was good. Now we get to the portion of the show which is called John.
DJ's Winners.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
John's is at the bottom.
John's not very good.
No, that's what this is called. Picks to click time. And you know how this works. You cannot take Matt Ryan. You cannot take Julio Jones. And we have eliminated Devontae Freeman as well. So the three best offensive weapons are off. Picks to click. We will give you who we think will have the biggest impact of the game and not one of those. Right now, Shock is in the lead. He's got four. Bosek and Jay both have two, and I am pulling up there. The only time I won was the one time I took Devontae Freeman before he was off the board.
Yeah.
So it is.
So really, you should have zero. That's what they'd be
saying. Well, no, you had a Devontae winner as well.
You have 50 players to choose from right now.
Right.
Go for it.
Okay. I get to go first?
Yes.
All right.
Because you're terrible.
I am terrible. Picks to click.
The guy who has been the second most reliable target for Matt Ryan is Jacob Tammy. I'm not going to leave him out this week. I'm taking Jacob Tammy.
That's so messed up.
Because that's who you're going to take?
Exactly.
Well, too bad. Good. You know, you two are ahead of me, so too bad.
Is it me or Bo?
Yeah,
flip
ahead,
a coin. I'm going back to the well from 2014, because this guy won me a lot of picks to click, and I'm going with Paul Warlow. I think he'll play a big role in the run game this week, stopping the run game. So I'm going defensive side, Paul Warlow. Bring it home for me.
Bosek? Going back to Desmond Trufant?
I'm still thinking.
Going back to Trufant.
I was actually thinking Trufant.
Got a tough matchup this week.
Jacob Tammy.
Not too bad. If you give me a win, maybe I'll give you Jacob Tammy.
I'll go with Schofield.
Okay.
Hoping he could maybe sack Hasselbeck for me.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Chuck.
I'm going with the guy who is back, Justin Duran.
Okay.
Talked about
his
key catalyst to this defense. He's going to come back and light it up, baby. 9 tackles, an interception.
This would have been a really good week to take a Matt Bryant, I think.
Yeah. I thought about taking Bosher. Just because nobody else is helping me win.
Would you get points?
Yeah.
Would you get points with Matt if he just kicks extra points?
Yeah. Not really. Depends. Probably not.
Yeah.
So he really needs like a 50-yard field goal or something.
Or a game
winner.
He just
needs a game winner.
just a game winner. No pressure.
You the whole game hoping it gets to a very close
Or he gives
game.
You the kick to take the lead at some point. Whatever. You can do that.
Oh, okay. Keep that in mind.
Hope you guys enjoyed. We'll be back next week. Make sure you go to the game this weekend. Be down there. Get there early because Survivor Series is happening afterwards at Phillips Arena, which we might have to go to.
I doubt it. But don't.
we'll figure it out.
Maybe there'll be some wrestlers at the game.
Maybe we'll see Roman Reigns.
Maybe.
See you guys next week. Oh, that hurts.
Oof, one. Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
Double trouble.
Ah.